Hey everyone, what's up? This is episode 10 of the Everyday Bowhunter Podcast. I'm Mike, and this week, Dan and I talk about a lot of stuff, starting off with some listener questions about ground hunting and the best way to do it, the equipment you need, etc. Then we talk about the great way to get started with bow hunting, the type of bows you can use, or if you even want to use a crossbow, we talk about that too, and the benefits and trials and tribulations of if you should use a crossbow or not. Then we dive into what happened this past weekend on our hunts, the second weekend of archery season, and we dive deep into the woes and begoes of the weekend, and the bear strikes again. So if you like that, if you're ready to hear it, then get ready and let's go. Welcome to the Everyday Bowhunter. I'm your host, Mike Manley, retired Green Beret turned bowhunter, joined by my brother, Dan Zimmer. We're here to share tips, stories, and talk gear, all from our unique points of view. Whether you're just starting out or you're a seasoned bow hunter, I think you're going to like it. So let's go. Hey everyone, welcome to episode 10 of the Everyday Bowhunter Podcast. Can't believe it, number 10.
Yeah, man.
We're here to rock, but I'm going to start this episode off on kind of a somber note. Saturday night, a close friend and teammate of mine from ODA 535 and 5th Special Forces Group, Josh Rosen, died after a fight with cancer. He died peacefully in his sleep, luckily. But it's been a bad weekend for me in regards to that. It's always been on my mind and hard hunting. When you have that on my mind, I know Dan has commented on it through the weekend for me because he was literally texting and talking to me Thursday, and then he's gone Saturday. So it's been a rough week. So I'm drinking a cold one. Salute you, Josh. Love you, man. And I'll see you again someday. So
yeah, Mike, I said to you, I hate this for you. I hate this for your teammates. I hate this for the families involved, his new wife.
He actually passed away on his first wedding anniversary last year. I flew out to San Diego for his wedding. And then exactly a year later, he dies on his wedding anniversary. You couldn't make this stuff up. It's horrible, you know. But the outpouring of support has been great. He's had tons of people showing up there. And I'll be heading out for his funeral as soon as I get the information for the arrangement. So it is what it is, you know. But all right. So let's move on, and we're going to start off like we normally do with listener questions. The first listener question we have is from Powell. I hope I get your name right. I'm sorry if I'm butchering it. He said, I'm a new hunter. First season this year. I would like to hear more about hunting from the ground. Equipment, tips, rate of success compared to a tree stand, and thank you in advance. So, Dan, that's the ball's in your court on this one. I can talk about rate of success.
Well, I mean, I think the rate of success out of a tree is going to be a little bit more. There's a greater advantages. It's harder to hunt off the ground. That being said, it's not always true. For me personally, I've had a lot more success on the ground than I ever did in a tree. A lot of that had to do with my fear of heights, and it debilitated me and my abilities, and it caused me to screw up a lot more. Now I'm a lot more comfortable hunting off the ground, and that could mean everything. And that's just my opinion. You know, that's success rate. Now, as far as gear, accessories, you know, I've said this in prior podcasts, I use a Summit tree stump seat, it's called. And you know, if I'm going to be hunting by a big, nice tree to help hide me, and I get like a turkey curtain to put around me, that kind of covers my legs. And if I'm using a crossbow, I have a bipod. So if I have a good backpack, each side, you should be able to strap in on the sides of your backpack, your turkey curtain that's in a bag and your bipod. So there you go. And then you can, where they're sticking up like this on the sides of your bag, you can put that Summit tree seat over top of it to be able to backpack it out. But it's really that simple. I really don't get too involved with too much gear. you know, in a tree, you have a lot of gear on the ground, you can, but really I'm like, if I'm using a crossbow, I have my bipod set up and my crossbow is just sitting there and I am waiting for them to walk by. Now, as far as strategically, I've said this before again on a podcast, multiple podcasts, I think, that I'm finding an ambush spot. I'm finding where I can be tucked back in, where I'm using brush, I'm using the forest as some cover for me, plus that turkey curtain with a little bit of help with movement. You can't really make a whole lot of movement when you're on the ground. Your window of shooting is pretty quick, you know? So
that's the one thing, man. The one thing that deer can sense more than anything, even if you're camouflaged really well, is that movement. It'll get you every time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think, you know, what you're saying, Dan, that finding those funnels where they're restricted in movement and setting yourself up on them is the best thing. And you talked about that before. Now, how do you set up it when you're using your compound?
When I'm using my compound, I'll have my seat there, and I have from Allen Company, it's like a fork thing. You stick in the ground and you put your limb and hang your bow. You know, you put your limb and it wedges your bow. So it's kind of like the same concept as my bipod with the crossbow. I have that sitting right in front of me. So I can kind of sit up. Now that stump seat flips out of the way. So I can kind of, using that turkey curtain, you know, flip that back, kind of tuck down behind it to be able to draw to shoot. And it's ultimately the same concept, except with a crossbow, I think it's a lot easier because you're not making movements. You're just kind of tucking your head into the scope and shooting. Where now with a compound, you have to wait for the deer to do, you know, I call it the death movement. And that death movement for me is it dropping its head to feed, its head going behind a tree, it's looking the other way. That means I can draw and it's death for him or her.
You have to anticipate so much more. If you hear something coming, you almost have to be.
Got to be draw, those, get drawing a while.
That ambush site that you have, the
use
one that, you
that
actually,
to your
you
advantage.
Actually call ambush. You basically, if you hear them coming, you got to be drawn already.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that makes it tough. On the ground, it's tough no matter where you hunt.
I'm not going to lie. It's a hell of a challenge, but I'm up for
that,
it, man.
That close and personal stuff off the ground, though, is something I really want to do.
So a couple years back, me and Dad were just talking about this. I shot a doe. And she was so close. I mean, when I shot, she was 7 yards, something, maybe even a little bit closer. You want to talk about intimate? When I shot, you could actually hear the blood coming out of her. It went like, you know, like this. Oh my God. It was so gnarly. Oh my God. It was just like, and then it was like hissing almost like, you know, like, oh my God. It was just spraying like a fan coming out the side. And I'm like, wow. I mean, there is nothing like that. You want to talk about up close and personal? It doesn't get really any more gnarly and better than that. That was pretty wild.
I think I was talking to the one podcast about the guy who said that he hunts real low, basically on the ground, but maybe, you know, 12 feet is the highest he goes.
Right.
And that he always, if a deer's coming, he always kind of has he tries to set up his stand so that the deer is passing him and he's trying to get a quartering away shot.
Yeah, perfect.
On it, which is one of the most effective shots you can do, even though it can be a tough shot.
Yeah. If you don't get busted first because you're not really high, you're kind of within their realm
really
of
have
view.
To be,
yeah, yeah.
Have to be good about movement, which I found out about this weekend, which we'll talk about.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I hope that answered his question. I mean.
Yeah, we love these user listener questions. We really love them, man.
And I think I've said this before too. I mean, you want to talk about a little bit of a strategy on the ground too is, you know, I will clear leaves just for my little bit of feet movement, just within my tiny little inner circle within that turkey curtain. But within that also, I'm leaving where I cleared some leaves away. I'm leaving some leaves. So when we get into the rut, I can be grunting and I can be at them leaves, kind of scratching at it, like trying to
great technique. Yeah.
Simulate that natural sound of what's going on, you know, especially if you're rattle bagging, you know, if I have a rattle bag with me, you know, I can be like hitting stuff and sound like, you know, you can make noise. You have to use it correctly. You know what I mean? If you're going to make noise and movement, you kind of have to use it correctly. And
it's just like, if you make a mistake and you drop something, you make a bunch of noise, try to cover it up by, you know, so I'll grunt a couple times.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that you're covering. Yeah. I mean, that's great. Great, Mike. Yeah. Thanks. I'm going to use that.
All right. Well, I think we answered that pretty good. Great job, Dan.
Thanks.
Then the next question was from, I'm assuming it's Dime. It's D-I-M-E. Once again, if I don't pronounce it right, I apologize. Really learning from your podcast and loving it. I'm new to bow hunting. I mean, really new. What is a good bow or crossbow for beginners? Any tips from Abilene, Texas, and looking to hunt turkey with a bow? So I responded to him and on Instagram, and I said, first off, as far as a good budget, ready to hunt bow, you can buy off the rack, Cabela's, and, you know, or buy online, obviously. And it has all the stuff on there that you need right out, and you don't have to get anything else. You just have to go out and zero your bow, and, you know, get to shooting, obviously, is the Bear Archery's Adapt. And now the Adapt is a bow that was done in concert between the Hunting Public guys, if you're familiar with them, and Bear Archery. And those guys have used the bow extensively and killed a massive amount of deer with it. So it's proven in combat. It's battle tested, and it's a really good price for a bow like that and have everything on it. And then you can, you know, upgrade and modify stuff from there. You know, as you feel that bow out, then you can grow, you know, which everybody kind of does. But on the crossbow front, Dan is kind of the expert on that. I'm not quite as well versed as him. What do you got on that, Dan?
Well, so when I first started hunting off the ground to get acclimated to it, I exclusively used a crossbow and only just moved back to a compound recently. So crossbow wise, as a beginner, you know, I personally would go with Wicked Ridge because it is owned by 10 points. So you're going to get that 10 point quality with it where you can get AccuDraw, which on the side of it has the draw cords already attached to it, and they kind of wind up back into it on a spring system. You know, I think it's called the AccuDraw 50. So you get that, you get good quality. I think, you know, Wicked Ridge, like I said, made by 10 points, a hell of a crossbow. Now, aside from that, you know, there's like a lot cheaper, I think, in price where that, like Wicked Ridge, you can pick up a good model, I think for like $599. But it's going to last you quite a while. Not that the other ones that I'm going to mention won't, but I would say like Center Point, I think it's called the Crossfire or Sniper or something like that. Them things are cooking. That's a pretty deadly accurate crossbow. And what was the other one? Wicked Ridge. They make probably the cheapest in price. And a buddy of mine uses his, and he's been killing with it, and he loves it. And it is lethal fast. I mean,
does he have a Wicked Ridge? Which one does he have?
No, Jevin has the Killer Instinct.
Killer Instinct, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that thing is smoking fast. And like, I think he picked that thing up for like $199, and I kind of rolled my eyes at it till he started shooting it.
That's a great crossbow. For, you know, he's had luck with that crossbow.
Yes, I mean, he has.
You know,
well, that's like in the last podcast, that's my buddy that dove into the table like a Buffalo Bills fan and tore his shoulder. he can't draw a bow right now until he gets surgery, whenever that may be, because I know he is dying to get back into a compound. And he was lethal with a compound. He's a hell of a hunter.
He killed a massive amount of deer with compound.
Yes, he has. He's a hell of a hunter. You know, I respect his abilities, and it's a shame that he is not able to shoot a compound and has to hunt with a crossbow, because I know it's killing him seeing us walk, me and you, walk out the door with our compounds, and he's like, eh. But hey, he's a meat hunter. He doesn't care. After I just said that, but you know what I mean? I know he's like my best friend. So I kind of know where he stands.
Jevin is a hell of a hunter.
Yeah, he is.
And when it comes to the should you use a crossbow for archery hunting debate, you know, the one thing I always say is this, cause I did it myself. You know, if you hunt archery for a number of years and then suddenly you can't shoot well because of his shoulder or whatever, you know, whatever it is, you know, there is who you're going to tell that you can't hunt archery anymore.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, I just, the way we hunt, period, I've never seen an issue with crossbows because we're hunting.
It's up close and personal.
We don't hunt any different. We're hunting in the mountains and the distance doesn't change. All of a sudden you're not shooting, you know, into a open field or anything like that. We're in the woods and your shots are really limited. So,
I mean,
you don't hunt any different.
Everybody should be happy for everybody that gets into the woods and is able to hunt. I mean,
especially now that we're losing hunters, we need to encourage people to hunt and not say, oh, you have a crossbow, you shouldn't hunt. I'm like, well, the heck with that.
Well, like, you know, my story was like kind of twofold. I was changing style of hunts was one. And for two, I do have a tore muscle right here. It's my bicep tendon sheet. And after drawing too much, it gets to me. And I, like, there are times throughout this season where I am going to be sore. So I'm going to go, you know what, this morning hunt, I'm just going to take the crossbow out, you know, things like that.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Hey,
you know, just like our dad, for instance, has, I don't even know how many deer. How many deer does he have?
It's a lot.
I mean,
30 with a, something.
He has a 2004 Hoyt.
Yeah.
That still shoots. That has all kinds of notches on there from all the deer he killed. Now he can't, you know, has a hard time with pulling the bow back and stuff. And I mean, he still shoots it.
Yeah, he still does it.
He still does it, but it's not as easy as it used to be. And he started using a crossbow. Are you going to tell that guy he can't hunt with a crossbow? Seriously?
Yeah, I mean, he's 70 years old. He put his time in. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And he's one of the best hunters I've ever met. And I am blessed that me and you got to be mentored by him. And hey, you know, like I said, I spent a lot of years in with a compound, up in a tree, tore my arm, got down on the ground, started killing with the crossbow, got my groove back. You know, I had to build my confidence back up because I went through a lull there where it just, I was disappointed in myself. I was, you know what I mean? Like, things weren't happening. Then got the crossbow, started getting success again, and now I'm back into a compound. Yep. And
me too.
You know, it's
same thing. My shoulder was jacked up and I worked my shoulder back and I got back into a compound.
Right.
You know, it's in this day and age when we're struggling, we're losing numbers of hunters, you know, every year and the numbers just going down. We want young people to get into hunting. So the questions that we got from these guys starting off and bow hunting. Yeah, man, we want you. Come on. I don't care what you're shooting. I just want you to hunt. Get out in the woods and hunt.
That negative stuff, that's nonsense. It's not like I'm just like archery hunting with a crossbow two weekends out of like the whole archery season. I'm just going out there wounding deer. I put my time in. I am relentless, start of season to end of season. So I don't want to hear it from all the other blah, blah, blah. Not, you can say whatever you want.
You know, we're not getting any more deer because of a crossbow. You know, if anything, we're getting more ethical kills when you do use a crossbow.
And guess what? I'm getting meat on the table for my family, dude. That's what it is. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
Now,
is feeding. You know,
to get off that subject and get on the one thing that he also asked in his said in his question was, he said he's from Abilene, Texas, and looking to hunt turkey with a bow.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
You can, you know, like Dan, I mean, there's a lot of people that hunt from a blind. A lot of times when we go out, I wear like a leaf suit, you know, a leaf jacket and leaf mask and stuff. And then you still use your turkey blind. I actually got one now I can use, but I haven't used it yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing. Same ground hunting approach really with the bow.
Yeah.
You're not really doing much different except learning to call in turkey, obviously.
That was actually the main reason why I went with a crossbow is other than there's so many layers to that actually was I was in my blind and I was trying to pull back my bow and I was like hitting the back of the blind. My broadhead was sticking into the side of the freaking blind, you know, I was like, this is so cumbersome and awkward. And I was so frustrated. I was like, I just want to kill a deer. I'm tired of this fight. You know what I mean? So that's, you know, it was just whatever you're comfortable with, do.
Yeah.
Get out in the woods, go hunting. That's all that matters. Be in the woods. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Turkey hunting with a bow can be tough. I mean, we did it. Yeah. We were up there. I had my bow, remember? Yeah. And those turkeys were coming in. I could see them. If I had a shotgun, I'd have gotten one probably. But, you know, you can't shoot an arrow through thick brush. So,
I mean, me and Dad 2 years ago took our crossbows out. We're like, let's go turkey hunt with our crossbows. Okay. Well, we get up on like the top of this one ridge, and the way I'm sitting, it had my back like all jacked up in it. I was like, we heard turkey. And I'm like, Dad, I cannot sit here any longer. The disc is going to blow out of my back and I'm done. The rest of my season's going to be shot. This is fall turkey. So I was like, I have to move. I have to move. He was, I think, pretty disappointed with me because I couldn't, you know what I mean? I couldn't suck it up. So we get moving. He starts seeing scrapes and shit. Not turkey scratches, but actual buck scrapes. And he looks at me and he goes, oh man, I can't get that out of my mind. We need to go down there. So we went down. Those turkeys came down and roosted right in front of me. And I thought to myself, is it illegal to shoot a turkey out of a tree?
Yeah.
And I started walking over and I think it is, but I just wanted to scope them out a little bit. And as I pull my crossbow up to check them out, I hear little saplings going behind me. And I'm like, what the hell? I turn around and there's a buck rubbing on little saplings. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I turn around, I get back in that stump seat with my turkey curtain. I get over, I wait for him to come up right at last light, smoked him. That was, I mean, what are the chances? You know what I mean? So that was a pretty cool moment. And yeah, thanks for the crossbow. I got a nice little buck and got the food on the table.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Well, all right. That's great questions. Thanks, guys. Hey, everybody's listening. Send them in, send them Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, whatever. We'd love to have them and we're definitely going to answer them. So I truly appreciate the engagement and you asking us, and happy to help you out. And I hope we did help you out.
Yeah.
So we're going to move into this previous weekend. We just were up at camp again for the second weekend. Yeah. It's a hard time to hunt right now, man. I mean, acorns are everywhere. I mean, you can't hunt just one spot because the deer, they're all over the place because they don't have to move very much because acorns are all over.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a big acorn year.
It definitely limits deer movement because they can stay in the same spot, you know?
Yeah. They don't have to go anywhere because the food's everywhere, you know,
right.
Wherever they want to be, they can feed. So I'll talk about Friday morning for me.
Okay.
I have a spot that I've been scouting for a while. I went in, it's kind of near the top of the mountain. And I had been tracking a couple different bucks in that area. And so I went in, I think I got my setup in my tree about 6 a.m. and there's about 9:15 or so. I was hunting out of my saddle. And so,
sorry, I just checked the Phillies score. Phillies playoff game. They're up 3-0.
I said, Dan's a diehard Phillies fan, so.
And they're playing right now.
So anyway, it's getting, you know, I'm facing this trail that's going, it's a north-south trail, basically up and down the mountain. And I have a cross trail below me. So I'm kind of facing that north-south trail. But I kind of catch some movement behind me. So I turn, and sure enough, coming down as opposed to coming up, I have a buck. Now it's seriously thick in there. I mean, seriously thick, you know, early season, you get a lot of the leaves on the trees and all that stuff. And this buck is just kind of feeding, but he's looking, he's kind of going down and bringing his head up and looking around, kind of, you know, wondering if my scent's blowing that way. Now I'm using that Ozonix unit. And my scent is going straight up the mountain. It's going straight up. And I have those Onyx points right there. Probably had like a 3 to 5 mile an hour wind, not a real bad wind or anything. And, but anyway, this deer just kind of turns around. It's like he's going to go back up the mountain. And he suddenly turns around. And this is kind of why I was like, I wasn't going to pick my bow up because he turned around. I thought he was going back up the mountain. But then he kind of works his way around. And he's up the uphill from me. So he's kind of in where he can see
in your line of sight. Yeah.
In my line of sight. We're kind of on the same, we're kind of on the same level. Yeah. And I actually got video of this on my Tacticam, but I left my Tacticam up at camp, so I'm not going to probably get that video in here. So I apologize for that. But anyway, I do have the video, and I'll probably throw it on the next pod. But anyway, he comes around, and doesn't he come right to my tree at 10 yards? So me being a chucklehead, instead of just letting him pass, because I still don't know how many points he has at this time because of all the thick cover. I know it's a buck. I know he has a decent rack. It looks like the points on him are thin. Looks thin. Looks
young,
like a
young deer.
Younger deer, looks like. But I want to at least have my bow in my hand. And I go and I reach for my bow slowly. He sees the movement instantly. It was a dumb move. But the best thing about this that I'm very happy about is he turned around and he kind of jumped back a little bit, maybe 5 yards. And he just walked away. He didn't run. So I didn't make any other movements. I kind of stayed still and I was very happy. And then he was above me for like an hour rubbing on trees. I think he was making a scrape up there. So I was like, he didn't smell me. He just caught my movement and didn't like it and moved away. So that's good. So when I did get out of the tree, I kind of slunk down quietly as I could. And try to sneak out of there nice and slow and quiet so that I could go back in. So that was my morning hunt on Friday. My afternoon hunt was largely uneventful. I did a still hunting move to a spot that I had that I had a lot of bucks on. I had like 3 scrapes in this area that I had found. But what in the afternoon hunt like this, I'm looking for the thermals to drop to carry my scent down because I'm expecting these bucks to be bedded above me. So what I did was I still hunted kind of about 500-600 yards down the mountain from them, about east, about 500 yards. And I kind of still hunted my way through. It was kind of funny because I sat down in the one spot I had just sat down and I look up and I have a little fawn looking at me. And I'm like, oh, kind of startled me. And then 5 yards away, 2 does just stand up. They had been bedded right there. I almost shit my pants. I think I might have yelled out. I might have cried out a little bit. You know. So anyway.
Sorry, my dogs just went nuts.
Oh,
pointers.
So anyway, I got, that was kind of neat being that close. But anyway, I waited until the thermal started dropping. It was like almost 4:30. So they'd start dropping. And when that happened, I moved into the tree that I was going to hunt and set up. I didn't see anything else that evening. So uneventful hunt. So you weren't up Friday. You didn't come up till Saturday, right?
What?
You were up Friday?
I got up Friday night.
Friday night.
I sat in a lot of traffic. Thanks, Pennsylvania construction.
So Saturday morning, I went back to that same spot that I hunted the morning before. It rained on me. It actually was 61 degrees when I walked into the spot at 6 in the morning. And when I walked out at 11, it was 49 degrees. It had dropped significantly. And it was nice in there, except for the fact that I got wet. Now, one key thing about this. So I'm sitting there and I have cell phone coverage. We really don't have cell phone coverage up there where we hunt. It's really bad cell phone coverage. But at this spot, I have good cell phone coverage. And I'm like, my cell camera that's up the mountain from me, I'm trying to check it because I'm like, well, I wonder if I pushed anything out of here this morning, whatever. And it says it hasn't reported since Wednesday. And I'm like, huh. So I decide, because it's raining and stuff, I'm like, hey, I'm going to drop my stuff. I'm going to pack up, drop my stuff, and I'm going to kind of sneak up the mountain here to see if I can check my camera. So I go up. I find the camera. Actually, I don't find the camera. I find the remnants of my camera stripped off the tree and look around on the ground around it, and I find the camera. And it has the batteries are completely intact, and it was ripped off the tree. And the SD card actually worked. I brought it back from the computer and I showed Dan. And it
was,
I think
you know what I'm going to say. China.
Bears? The Bears do not like
Chinese cameras.
Chinese cameras. Yeah, they don't like them.
Bear 4, Mike 0.
Bear 4, Mike 0. Over 2 years, 4 cameras gone.
All so, death by black bear.
And this bear's a big guy. He was big. He was just lounging around in front of the camera for a while.
Took a dump.
In front of the camera.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And then and then he came over and said, "Huh, I don't like this."
Yeah.
And decided to play with it and bite it. He was biting on it. We have pictures of his mouth covering the camera and stuff. But anyway.
Yeah.
That there kind of said, "Bear archery opens on Saturday and I have a tag. Let's hope the weather cooperates because I will be up there." He keeps coming back to that spot. I can hope that he comes back again. You know, they never do. They never do. They know when archery bear comes in, so they leave.
They leave. Oh, that's too funny.
Mm. But then my afternoon hunt was kind of a scout hunt, and I really wasn't happy. It's a ton of deer sign, but not as much true buck sign. And I kind of set myself up on a confluence of trails and as an observation sit kind of deal and didn't see anything. So it was uneventful for me. So you want to talk about your Saturday, Dan, after you check the Philly score?
Yeah. So I go out Saturday morning to my new spot that I scouted that was pretty promising this summer. And I get out, get in my bag, get ready, load up my backpack, grab a bow, get my headlamp on, and I go like this, and the batteries were dead. And I must have hit it in my pack, and it stayed on and killed the batteries.
Happens to me all the time.
So I get back in the truck, and I just wait for the sun to come up a little bit so I could see to go up in. And, all right, now it's light enough. And, okay, now I'm out of my normal routine. It officially made me start to make stupid mistakes. So I grab my rangefinder, I grab my truck keys, and I throw them both in the same back pocket. And because in my sick of pants I have, there's only one back pocket. So anyway, make a long story short, I get about 50, 75 yards in, and I start seeing movement in front of me. So I get behind a tree and I start looking up, and there's two fawns running down through, and they're like frolicking and playing like little kids. It was freaking adorable. And then there's the mother, you know? And I thought to myself, I can't shoot that doe. I can't do it. And they were really small fawns. So I was like, just kind of enjoying the scenery, you know? And I'm off to my left, I look and I see another doe. And I was like, well, I can smoke her. So, well, there's at least one doe that they can milk off of. So I was like, all right, now I tucked even farther behind this tree. And now I'm reaching in my back pocket to get my rangefinder out so I can get some yardage on this thing. And as I'm digging in my pocket, I must have hit the panic alarm of my truck. Next thing you know, up through the woods that just. Yeah.
Can't make it up.
You can't. Man, it's just beginning of season blues. This is the kind of stuff. When you get taken out of your routine, this is the kind of stuff that happens. And when your last name's Zemer, this is the kind of stuff that happens. When you're hunting off the ground, this is the kind of stuff that happens. It's just, it was pretty disappointing. So I just turned around. All I saw was tails going, you know, and everybody was waving goodbye. Nice white tails, you know.
Oh, yeah. You said it was a bunch of deer there that you didn't realize were there.
So, yeah, I think there's two more doe behind that. Because it looked like about 6 or 7 tails in total, like all saying goodbye, Dan. Goodbye, Dan. Have a nice morning. So I turned around and I started walking back to get my truck to stop beeping. Why? It started beeping there, but I couldn't undo it until I got about 10 yards down. Whatever. Mysteries, you know, unsolved mysteries. So I get back to the truck and I went to a different spot, which was right down the road. I got up there and then I was sick to my guts, so I just kind of left. And then we got back, hung out, did our thing, and me and Dad went down to the fields. And the signage was not there. It just wasn't there like it was last year, but they had did some cuttings in there. So I think it just disrupted their natural pattern from the year prior, and we shouldn't ever assume that it's going to be the same. We didn't scout it, but we're like, let's get to these fields, you know? So we get down there.
Kind of a meat run.
Yeah, it's a meat run, yeah. So We get down there and the wind was just howling. I mean, it was rocking and rolling down there pretty good. Mm-hmm. And it kind of got quiet, like wind wise, for just like a couple minutes. And I thought I heard grunting. And it was behind me, and the fields are behind me. I'm waiting for them to come through, you know? So, and the wind's blowing directly in my face into that field. I didn't really think much about this, but I heard grunting, and then I saw, when it wasn't windy, corn stalks going, like, not like the wind would be pushing it. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? Like, they were going, like, erratic, and you could hear, like, in the corn. So I radioed Dad. I said, hey, dude, they're already in the corn. They're already in the field. Like, they're not going to, and he radioed back. He's like, they're not going to come out. we're pretty much done here. And
there's a lot of times I think they bed right in there. Why do they have to come out?
Well, and that corn, they got a lot more rain up north, you know, than we did down here in York County, where our corn's already like brown and dry and ready to come down. And some of it is being brought down, where up there, it still has some green in it. I think it's going to be there for a while yet. And it was disappointing, but, you know, Dad radios me then. It was like 10 quarter till 6, something like that. That, I'm telling you, the wind was rocking and rolling. And he says, Philly start at 6. So we met up, and there, right at the edge of the field, there was some CRP right there. Like, and you should have seen all the beds in that. They're laying in that CRP. Then they go into the field. They go down for a drink because the creek's right there. I mean, they're probably within a 50 to 60 yard radius where they don't have to go anywhere. They could just keep doing these circles, you know?
Yeah.
But at any rate, we hightailed it back and got to camp and watched the Phillies win game one against Atlanta. Pretty happy camper. They're winning right now. Game two, 3-0. And it is, yeah, that's good stuff. I like it. Fifth inning.
Yeah. That Saturday night, I mean, I went up there, and that, and I'm telling you, there's not going to be a lot of hunters that go into that area. It is so miserable to walk through. I mean, thick. Yeah. I had really good, I was like, I identified a really good transition,
yeah.
You know, even though it's so thick, it was a really kind of wall of that thick, those berry bushes and stuff that are in there. Right. It created like a wall there. And I was like, well, I'm going to go over here and wonder, see if there's a trail that's right along this, you know, usually within 20 yards or so of a good transition like that you do. And man, there was a trail literally 5 yards off of it. And so I got on that trail and I followed it up. But I should have known, because following it up in the daylight, it was miserable. It was, I mean, I was pushing
rocky,
all kinds of rocks, jaggers. I mean, it was bad jaggers. And thick brush and constantly stepping over logs where I was twisting my ankles and the rocks that were so bad in there. And I said, walking out of here in the dark's going to be bad.
Miserable.
And it was. I was 500 yards from the road, only 500 yards from the dirt road down in the valley. And it took me, I think, almost 40 minutes to get down, 30 to 40 minutes to get down.
Wow.
It was horrible.
Well, but I navigated.
It's still an area. The deer sign in there was incredible. Just like I said, I didn't find any specific buck sign.
I navigated it pretty fast when I got out of there the last time, but I was being run down by a rattlesnake. So you'll move pretty. It's amazing. You're quite agile when you need to be.
So this upcoming weekend, we kind of it's got bad weather in the forecast for Saturday. Right. I am hoping to hunt Friday, but I also might be out of town for a funeral. I haven't gotten the information yet. So this weekend could be a bust. Dan, you have stuff going on Saturday.
Right. Sunday. Sunday. Which I'm going to go, you know, Saturday afternoon to West Friendship, Maryland, to a dog show in the morning. I'm going to go to our club and do some hunting and out of my blind in the rain. They won't be training up there because they don't normally run dogs up there in the rain. So hopefully I don't have a doe tag for there, but there's some big boys that run around up there. So hopefully I get a shot at one of them. It's pretty nice territory up there, man.
Well, I have two different really promising spots that are actually very good morning hunts that I have trees identified and everything. So I'm hoping between Friday and Saturday to hunt them. And also move into some other areas in the afternoon to try to find some some fresh hot sign that's out there. Because right now there is the time that they're really starting to lay it down. But this is called the October lull. And they kind of, you know, people say they don't move, but that same PSU study that I talked about before says that they still move just as much during the October lull. The difference is they do it closer to bedding. So it's finding those bedding areas and getting close to them to help you be successful this time of year.
Well, I think they're starting to move. Down here, at least, York County, they're starting to move. Boss at work said he's starting to, the last 3 to 5 nights or something like that, I think he said, he's starting to see different buck that he has not seen before on camera. So down here, it starts a couple weeks earlier than it does up where we're at.
It does.
So I think Halloween up there is good. The magic's going to turn on. We had a really cold morning this morning. It was like 43 degrees. It's going to start happening. That cold weather is going to kick them right in gear, you know? So.
Yeah. Now the other night, right down from the house here, my wife saw a buck in that area that's between the two parts of our development where we live. And it was like a 4-point. So we hadn't seen a buck in there forever. We see doe all the time, but we hadn't seen any bucks. So that was. That's definitely showing some movement there.
On my way home from work, I saw a guy going in there.
There's a tree stand. There's a tree stand in there.
Yep.
I saw last year, so.
Yep.
But anywho, I think that's pretty good, Dan. You ready to put a bow on it?
Yeah, I want to get back to watching this game. Sorry.
It's the police. All right.
We want to thank everybody. Again, you know, shout out to your boy, Josh. I'm sorry, Mike. Truly am. Sorry to your teammates and families and everything involved. Yeah. Would like to thank everybody for listening. Hit that like button. Subscribe. Ask us questions. You know, Mike's always finding them on Instagram and stuff like that. And go ahead and respond or hit reply, do replies on YouTube or whatever. But thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you very much. We'll see you next time.